this.
Hey, have you seen his Instagram?
They need
this Felger and Mass.
They don't use crack enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
All right, as promised, right back to your phones on a reentry Monday. Jay in Graphic. Go ahead, Jay.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Do you think the Devlin touchdowns and the direct snap to James White on that third and one, which I thought was an awful call, is a direct result of Sony Michel struggling in short yardage situations? I'll hang up and listen on the air.
Yes.
No question.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, to me, that's exactly what it is. That they got to.
I want to look it up. The first Devlin one, I think that Michel was stopped on the play.
He was.
Before.
He was. He was.
Yeah, so it's like.
They lined up again and they give it to the first guy through.
Absolutely. It's like, enough of this.
Yep.
They're either trying to protect him because of his injuries to his knee and his back that he sustained last week against the Jets. And granted,
who are you talking about?
Michel. So it's one of two things.
Or his injuries to his knee and his back?
Or they just don't trust him because of his fumble history when he was at UGA. So it's or the other. He's just not that good in short yardage so far.
I
like him. But
I just don't think they believe he can pick it up. They gave him another one later in the game, I think, and he didn't get that one either. So, like, I look at it and say that's what it is. Now, there were a couple that did pick up, if I remember right, but... You know, they were more in the middle of the field. One's down by the goal line when everybody's geared up for it. He doesn't get in.
Nope, he's not there yet on that front. Here's Aiden in Worcester on another running back of the Patriots. Go ahead, Aiden.
Running back, wide receiver, whatever he may be. I know you guys aren't his biggest fans, but I'm just wondering if you guys' opinion of old highlighter Shoes Patterson has maybe changed after last night's game. I know he impressed me a little bit more than I was used to him seeing.
He had a good catch. I'll give him credit for the catch. And I'm talking the one that was the shoe top catch just off the turf in the second half, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The one on the first series.
It was a joke.
Where he leaked out the backside and no one was within 30 yards of him. And he didn't get credit for that. Murray would have caught that and gained 20 yards with that. The catch, the catch in the, I want to say the flat on that deep out where the ball was a little underthrown, that was a good grab.
Yes, excellent catch.
So I'll give him credit for that. Still not worth that money. Not even close. Dylan in Providence. Hi, Dylan. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So you guys were talking earlier about how Maz was finally starting to warm up to the defense a little bit, but he wasn't totally sold on the offense, and how, Mike, you were talking about how much you hate those over-the-top balls in the end zone.
Yeah.
I think an even more boneheaded play that we saw was that third and goal play. I think it might have been earlier in the game. Third and goal, they come out, they go empty, and they threw a quick out on the flat to Julian Edelman, which was totally covered. I don't know if Brady was trying to get a flag on it. It looked like he wanted one after the play, but I found that play more incredibly infuriating than any other play I've seen at the goal line this year. I'll hang up. Thanks, guys.
Okay, well, he did fail in that goal line situation as well. They were first and goal at the 7.
And that was an excellent drive.
Excellent drive. And once again, you know, it starts with Michel gaining nothing on first down. So they try and run Michel up the middle. And then he goes to Edelman twice, and the second one was third and one at the 1. So I guess it wasn't a goal-to-goal situation. I guess they still could have gotten a first. It was right down there.
No.
That was that first was and goal. No, goal. Take it back. I take it back. Third and goal at the 1. So, yeah, fair enough. I mean, you're throwing down there because...
And it's indicative of something that's happened to this team offensively in the red zone the whole year.
But you're giving it to your fullback. You're throwing because your lead running back is trouble down there.
Correct.
That's it.
They're too cute on third and short in those situations the whole season. And that direct snap to James White made me absolutely crazy. Like, what are you doing?
We're going to get to that in a minute. Andrea in Newburyport. Hi, Andrea.
Hi. You guys talked earlier about Gronk not being where he used to be physically, and maybe he never will. I wondered if you could talk about sort of the liability that he seemed to be on some procedural things. He had a penalty for false start. He had another penalty at the line, and then he had a huge... holding call. So I wonder if you could talk about how he didn't contribute. Yeah, thanks.
I think it's indicative of he's just off. He jumps off sides on the first play of the game.
Yeah.
First snap. And that's not the first. He's jumped off sides, I want to say, like 2 or 3 times this year.
Yeah.
I've just noticed it. And then were both, did he get 2 holding penalties after that, or was one?
My recollection was 2 holdings. And on both of them, he had his hands outside. He was totally grabbing guys and you know, wrapping them. So I mean, if I had to guess...
It's just part and parcel with a guy that's not... He's just not all there.
I'd be willing to bet that it's all related, too, to something physical. Like, you know, maybe you jump a little quicker because you're not getting
off.
Yeah, you can't get off as fast. And maybe you're grabbing guys different because you can't get the same leverage because you don't have the leg drive that you used to have. Like, to me, I'd be willing to bet it's all related. And if you're saying that he's mentally not in it, I wouldn't disagree with that either.
Murray, what's again your take?
Gronk is dead. We have Robert James Gronkowski, just another tight end. He's not the Hulk anymore. He's Bruce Banner.
So you've been down on him for a while. There you go.
Rob.
There's that analogy.
I'm just Robert James Gronkowski now.
Daniel on the South Shore. Hi, Dan.
You know, I just one thing on the Middleton thing. I know the Bruins, you did that thing on Friday, right? Why isn't Jerry Cheever's name on that list?
Oh, if we start opening the door to all these guys, Danny, might as well let them all in. Let them all in.
A good goal. He was one of the top five of his time.
Jill Jabert, let them all in. Let them all in.
No, I'm talking about
everybody.
He's not on the list. Cheever deserves to be there. But anyways, I'll get to the... Okay, now, as far as the Steelers game goes, right? I mean... If Hockey Lee Miniatures crew was doing that game, the Steelers would have won that by two touchdowns. They missed an illegal procedure call that San Diego scored on. I refuse to call them L.A. This is San Diego. And now they had a block in the back on the kickoff or the punt return for a touchdown. Two touchdowns. Steelers defense is still playing the best in the AFC. And what was the big difference, speaking of defense and pass rush and killing the other quarterback, what was the difference yesterday, Murray? That if they had done it one time against Philadelphia last year, they would have won the Super Bowl. The pressure on the quarterback, they hit him often, they hit him early, they pressured him, they disrupted. That's what you have to do, and that's what the Steelers are still doing. They're playing good defense. Uh-huh. And don't forget, the Steelers' offensive line has been like a brick wall for Roethlisberger, so don't count the Steelers out.
I am. I'm counting them out.
When you line up John Bostic on Keenan Allen, you can start to count out the Steelers because their defensive coordinator's a dope.
They don't have
14
it.
14 catches for Allen.
They don't have it.
14.
That is embarrassing.
I was hoping Danny would bring up something that we talked about 2 weeks ago. No, last week, 2 weeks ago.
It's not. That's freak to let one guy, and it's not like it's some role player who just got hot. It's their best freaking receiver.
Correct. 14 catches. 14.
That is so Steelers. Like, they coming against you, knowing that they're not going to play zone, are they? They can't. And they play zone.
Yeah, time and again.
Or like, you know, they're not going to cover Edelman with linebackers and safeties in the slot. Nope. Linebackers and safeties in the slot. You've had 2 weeks to look at it, and they never change. That is so Steelers. The number one receiver goes for 14 catches, and you don't adjust.
I mean, that is it. That's just a brutal loss. I'll give them half for Denver because it's at Denver. Even though they gave the game away, nonetheless, on the road, fine. Home, San Diego, national TV, 23-7.
They're done.
Let's send some toilet paper so they can all wipe themselves now.
They don't have it. John in Plymouth. Hi, John.
How we doing, boys? In honor of the Wilder fight, I would like to baptize you guys with a fiery take on some of the coaches, especially the Steelers coach. I'd like to say, first of all, what a big joke that last Steelers fan called or whatever he's talking about the defense, and what a big joke Tomlin is. It is so comical to see how, like, this players coach, this charismatic, this undisciplined young guy comes into this team, and it shows. You can see last year when Antonio Brown was filming in the locker room, when Pouncey and all their linemen, every time they get the chance, go into the media room and just say whatever they want to say. And it shows on the field when these players are obviously don't have the discipline to not go offside three times. And I also, just before...
I'm just going to cut you there. It shows up. It's just that lack of discipline or brain power. Like, it's just... The Steeler thing has always just been, rawr! Oh, that's just.
No, they win by basically beating into submission.
Blitzburg! You know, like, but it just all shows up. It all shows up on the margins, and not even on the margins. Punt returns for touchdowns, killer turnover here or there. And the offsides at the end of the game is really just a comical. Like, it was just comical. Icing on the cake. But they still went offsides three straight times on the game-winning field goal, and the guy missed the first one. The guy missed the first one. If they had just held their water.
You could tell there was a Nate Kading moment.
Oh, they go to overtime. 39 yards at Heinz Field. A tough place to kick. So see if the kid is a rookie kicker, right? Let's see if the little rookie can make the kick. You give him three freebies? You give him two extra kicks. That is just so Steelers, it's not even funny.
Oh, totally. I mean, again, you know, it was the same thing all three times. They weren't even close. It was ridiculous. They were 2 yards into the backfield when the ball was snapped.
Freaking Steelers. 617-779-0985. It's Reentry Monday. We get to some of the second guesses on the Patriots play calling with your calls right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Brady's in the gun with a trips punch right. White motions into the backfield. Gordon's put left on third and a half yard. Brady takes the snap. In fact, it's a direct snap to James White. He escapes a defender in the backfield, runs it to the right, and he is stopped. A direct snap to White, who ran it to the right. And he was stopped on the play.
Hate it.
Loss back at the 26.
Ridiculous.
And now the two-minute warning takes us to a break.
Flex him out. Motion him in. Reverse this. Reverse that. You got three healthy backs now. Line the thing up and run it behind a fullback. Because now we talk about line continuity up front. You got all your linemen. You got a fullback. You've got Burkhead back this week. You've got Sony Michel who's been running. And you go back to that chicken bleep finesse stuff on third down. God, that just drives you crazy. I mean, your defense pitched the goose egg here in the first half. And all you gotta do is pick up a yard on third down, and you control the clock and the way the half ends. And you're getting the ball to come back out. But now you put your defense in a tough spot where, okay, now they can get a rhythm here before the half, and momentum shifts.
And it begs the question, why not have Brady under center? He's been so good throughout his career, automatic on the sneak.
Anything.
But you eliminate that as a possibility with him in the gun. Cousins takes the step, drops back, looks to his right. He throws a fade, back corner of the end zone, Thielen wide open. Touchdown, Minnesota. And the Vikings execute beautifully in the final minutes of the opening half. And now they will orchestrate their end zone celebration after the grab by Adam Thielen.
That's fun. That's what you do when you direct snap it to your back on third and one, because you can't pick up a first down by running it.
So there's that sequence we were talking about before. Really could have been the key to the game. Pats in real control of that game. 10-0 with the ball. Gronkowski gets hit by Brady with a little out there right at the line. They give him the first down. Mike Zimmer challenges at the two-minute warning. Wins the challenge. So they have to back up the ball a yard. We get another two-minute warning. And on third and one, the Patriots won a direct snap play to James White. It gets snuffed. Minnesota goes down and scores. You heard how Zoe reacted to it. And that's, again, that's what set Scott Zolak apart. You want to call him a homer? He is. But when things go wrong, he's more critical of the Patriots than any guy.
Chicken bleep finesse stuff on third down.
Exactly. He'll rip the team more than any guy in town when things don't go well. And he did not like that play call to James White. That could have changed the whole game. What are your thoughts, Murray?
Oh, I hated it. And I thought it was a perfect way to sum it all up from Zoe right there. Because
chicken bleep finesse stuff on third down.
That's what it is. And I know the Vikings are big, especially up front with guys like Linval Joseph, who looks like two people put into one, and Sheldon Richardson. But your bread and butter in that game was pushing it right up front with Devlin. Or just go with the one play that's almost a guarantee. Tom Brady with the QB sneak, like they were talking about in the broadcast. That thing? The direct snap to White, and I like James White, but what are you doing? It's just too cute.
So let me again, I'm going over my notes. Did you also remember the fourth and one throw to Hogan?
Hated it.
Right down
that,
the line?
I know
oh,
that it
right,
worked.
Yes. They
I know
just
it worked.
Barely picked it up.
Okay, but think of, folks, think of how many short yardage running situations they were in. And what are they going to? Devlin, direct snap to White, throw to Edelman on the goal line, throw to Hogan on fourth and one. Look, these should all be Sony Michel plays.
Right. Yep, they don't trust him.
In theory, yeah.
In theory. But anyway.
God, that just drives you crazy.
Zoe wasn't happy with that play call.
Or he shouldn't be.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but how about even Rex Burkhead, who looked like he was running with fresh legs? That play, and then what it ended up becoming, and that it was all of a sudden a 10-7 game, when it felt like the Patriots should have been completely blowing that team out and how they were playing in the first half, was infuriating.
I mean, that sequence was, it was just, that was a killer. And then when the Vikings ended up tying the game, I thought, oh boy. Like, think of how that could have spun the other way. The Patriots get on score at the end of the half, and the beginning of the third could be 20-0, game over. Instead, they end up giving the ball back to the Vikes. They go in for a touchdown, then they tie it 10-10. I was sitting there going, you got to be kidding me. That's what's going to cost them the game.
So now that I have my notes up, just other things that weren't great. The Brady interception, that was a bad one.
Horrible.
Bad play. You know, they should have picked up the blitz. So I guess it's not Brady's thought. You know, I think Burkhead should have just sat there and picked up the blitzer, right?
He got rocked on it.
So
Brady did.
Brady did, yeah. So that, you know, that the ball game should have been before then. But anyway, okay, so bad pick by Brady. Oh, Michelle, back on Michelle. You see him run out of bounds inside of 2 minutes?
Murray, did I tell you about this during one of the breaks a little while ago? Yes, first play after the two-minute warning. 8 yard gain around left end, and he goes out of bounds. Out of bounds.
Thank you.
Jackass. Put your shoulder, lean in, or just go down. What are you? They had only used one timeout at that point. They had two left. What are you doing running out of bounds?
Hopefully he got reamed by the coaches.
Oh, what a mistake.
Crazy.
Now, look, I know they were up two touchdowns, but even so, tick, tick, tick. Let it run or let him burn the timeout.
Brutal. Just brutal. I thought the referees, in terms of spotting the ball, were absolutely, like, bizarrely clueless. Horrible job spotting the ball all game long. All game long.
Felt that way.
Giving you 10 yards when you only got 9. Hit and went to both teams because they originally gave Gronkowski that first down, and Zimmer's replay brought it back. How about the 4th and 1 to Murray? The run up the middle to Murray, the 4th and 1.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That he had to get to the 39.5.
That's a patch challenged and lost. But I still think he was at least a half a yard
short.
He
was behind the line of scrimmage.
It wasn't even close.
Looked at, although I'll tell you what, when Belichick challenged it, I thought it was a stupid challenge because there wasn't enough there to see it. And I felt that way about both of Belichick's challenges. I thought they were both dumb. He lost them both.
Because no, well, the second one, no. The second one he should have won.
Yeah. Oh, the second one he should have won. The first one I didn't like.
Murray, what's Murray's first name again?
Latavius.
Latavius Murray. He was not even freaking close. That was a ridiculous spot, I thought.
That was a bad spot. I just didn't think he was going to win the challenge.
Feh.
Too close.
Feh. He should have won the challenge, I think. You know, why does Minnesota, by the way, why does Minnesota even bother with Latavius Murray when they got that other kid?
Dalvin Cook, he's dynamic.
So much more explosive. So much more dangerous.
You just reminded me of something. Keep going.
I think he averaged almost 10 yards per carry.
Like, what are you doing? Latavius Murray is one of these guys at the stupid running back. Oh, we can run the ball. A physical running back. Ah, short yardage. Blow it out your ears, as Maz would say. Latavius Murray, dinosaur. Useless in today's game. Useless. Give me a guy with some burst. Dalvin Cook averaged 9.3 yards a carry, Maz. 9.3 yards in the first half. I don't know if that's what you're looking up. In the first half, it was probably even more.
He only carried it 4 times in the second half.
First half, 5 carries, 62 yards, 12.5 yards per carry, and they don't even go to him in the second half. Idiots!
Yeah, they should have run the ball more. They were having success with that. It felt to me like the Patriots were willing to give him that because Belichick, you know, probably rightfully so, was so concerned about the wide receivers. They wanted to take Diggs and Thielen out of the game. So they were content to let the ball go to Dalvin Cook. And you know what? He was making plays.
Okay, and I'm just going through my list, which always invariably ends up being things that bug the crap out of me on both sides. Brady's kneel down at the end of the game.
Yeah, did you see that?
That's sort of annoying.
Yep.
Oh, who cares?
Oh, if we're going to do the who cares game, then let's shut it down and go to break.
Oh, yeah, no. He made
sure. Did you see his t-shirt?
Go ahead, what?
Did you see Brady's t-shirt?
No.
Celebrating this milestone of 1,000-yard rushing.
Can't sell a 1,000-yard t-shirt if you take a kneel down to go back to $9.99, Murray.
That was the team. I don't think that it was actually Brady selling it, Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a TB12 1K.
Oh, yeah, no. Oh. He made sure he went forward so he didn't lose a yard. And then he told the refs where to spot the ball.
Which I might have one by the end of the week.
Apparently, there's two t-shirts because I know there was an exclusive on Patriots.com.
Based on Belichick's response post-game, I'm not sure Belichick loved it.
Awesome. Awesome. Jimmy, I didn't ask you to get it, but you happen to have it. You, I'm sure someone cut it up. Reese to Belichick on the 1,000-yard. Bill basically dropped his pants and dropped a steaming pile of feces on Brady's 1,000 yards.
Pretty much.
But so he kneels down to make sure it's forward at least so he doesn't lose a yard to go back to $9.99 because he can't sell a t-shirt, Murray. Oh, who cares? If we're going to play the who cares game, then we go to commercial. We're paid to care. Okay? We're paid to care.
I understand that, but we're going to really be mad about Brady going forward.
Why not?
This is the
Belichick said, yeah, that's really important to us. It's great.
Yeah, no, we'll give you the credit. So good.
He did. He all but farted right on Brady's head.
I'm glad he got his 1,000. That's really important to me, too. I'm glad he sold some t-shirts. How'd you like Goskowski's 48-yard attempt there?
No, that was a nice kick. Yeah, almost as good as Bailey's earlier one, the 48-yarder.
No, but I like that the holder was in place.
Yeah, either one. I mean, they both missed down at that. Bailey's was worse.
So now
Goskowski was closer, but holy crap.
Jimmy, after listening to Fred and Beadle go back and forth, I'm now allowed to say this word, so I don't think you can drop this, because I did write down Vikings playing like pussies. They do. They do. They play like a bunch of kitty cats.
Totally.
They do. Like, all that talent.
Starting with the quarterback.
All that talent, all that speed, and add Dalvin Cook to it. And it's every play's a little check down to a covered running back or someone. Push the ball, push the pace, push the tempo, push the ball down the field. Start challenging the Patriots down the field.
I mean, to me, a lot of that's on the quarterback. He's terrified.
God!
He is absolutely terrified, that big wuss bag quarterback. You know what? I decided firmly and finally yesterday, Kirk Cousins is never going to win a damn thing. He's not good enough. He doesn't have enough of a sack to keep checking down over and over and over again.
It's
your
amazing.
Big salad.
I leave a page at the end of my notes just for general notes from the game, but it really just ends up being things that piss me off. Both sides. I wrote down here, Edelman drop on second series. How'd you like that one?
Brutal, brutal play.
I didn't think he was that great last night.
Then he fumbled a punt, and it's like, ooh, where are you at? Did he get popped? Like, maybe his bell got rung at some point.
Well, it's funny you said that, because at one point during the game, I thought, ooh, he's taking a beating. So maybe that's exactly what happened. I didn't even consider that.
Yeah, there was one.
Three catches on eight targets.
And one of the catches he had, he got tackled low. And it looked like he went like, ah!
His knee.
Yeah.
I remember that.
He came up slow, and that's where a couple of balls ended up clanging off his hands after that particular play. He's coming back from that knee injury anyway, but he didn't look right.
So, I'm telling you, it stuck in my head yesterday that at one point I looked up and went, oh my God, he is taking a beating.
Here's a positive note. I don't know how this got on my list.
accidental.
Pat's good early pressure on Cousins. They did. Maybe that set the tone.
Absolutely.
I think they got in his kitchen early, and he couldn't recover. He doesn't handle it well.
And I felt like it was coming up the middle, too. That's where it was coming. He was backpedaling constantly, right? They got, because when Minnesota's first scoring drive, well, what should have been their first scoring drive when Bailey missed the field goal, they get down there, and they get to, like, the 20-yard line, and then there was either sacks on consecutive plays or a sack and a pressure that ultimately left him kicking a 48-yard. Yarder?
Yes.
Like, totally. The pressure was coming absolutely from the interior.
Okay, finally, replay on the Rudolph catch.
See, I thought they were going to call that a catch.
We are in a place now. And I thought they were, too, because I think they've erred on the side of catch.
Yes, that's what the new rule is.
I mean, you can give me all the verbiage that you want. Football move, third move, da-da-da-da-da. It's really, it's now if it's close, it goes to the catch. And that's really just what I found. But it really is in a place now where you don't know what a catch is. Last year, and for the previous, whatever, 10 years, the previous incarnation of the rule, you knew that was not a catch. That was not a catch under the old rule. Got to maintain possession through the entire, got to go to the ground with it, blah, blah, blah. And that would not have been ruled a catch. Now it's like, I'm not really sure. They usually keep that a catch now, but now I don't know. And it's...
Belichick doesn't either.
I'm really surprised that we haven't had more controversy on the thing, because they've really, so I mean, give the league credit, because whatever adjustment they made, they've really eliminated the whole what's a catch thing, because we really had very few of those controversies. Don't you agree?
Yes.
I mean, across the league.
Because I think people more often than not think it's a catch, and then they rule that it isn't. And that upsets them more than the alternative.
The other way around.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't do a very good job explaining that, as usual.
Well, so that Rudolph one. If that Rudolph catch on the sideline was replayed last year, I would have known 100% no catch.
Mm-hmm.
This year, I'm like, I think they pretty much call it a catch now, but I don't know.
See, when Belichick challenged
what's a football move when you're out of bounds?
Okay, so I thought, to me, it was that he got both feet down and had the ball.
Okay, so but that's not a football move.
No, it's not, but
in the field of play, 2 feet in the ball is not enough. You got to make a third action, a football move, something, whether it's reaching the ball, taking another step.
What about pulling the ball down to your body?
Tucking the ball. He didn't even really do that in that.
He almost did.
Nope. He held it out. Watch. He held it outside his body.
No, but he came pretty close. He had it up over his head and then pulled it down toward his chest. And then he stepped out of bounds and it got knocked out.
The commentator said he made a third step. That might have been Pereira. He's out of bounds. What does the third step matter? So it's like, on those boundary plays, it's not clearly defined. If it's close, it's now a catch.
I knew Belichick was going to lose that one. I knew it. I thought he was going to lose both. I thought both of his challenges yesterday were a mistake.
Okay, my list is exhausted. What are yours? What's your list? What pissed you off? We'll get back to you right after Murray's update.
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
First and goal to go from the two. Out of the eye, Michelle, the tail of the tandem behind Devlin. Brady turns, gives it to Devlin. Up the middle, yeah. A dive to the end zone. James Devlin, times two. Touchdown, Patriots, his second day.
It's great to see a quarterback in his 19th year not become complacent and jog to the sideline like he's been there before, because it's so ho-hum. He realizes it's December football. You got a good team in. Your fullback just scored a second touchdown of the night. And you go and you find your center and you headbutt him. That's the way you cap the drive off. The offense is back, and I like it. You know why? Because they're tough. You put the fullback back in, and it created an air of toughness.
So they put they were tough. I don't want to. They set a physical tone from the first play, as Murray points out. Landon Roberts throttling, was it Cook on the swing pass on the first play?
Yeah.
It's like they were a more physical, engaged team from the start, no question about it. But was Devlin in there on the goal line to create toughness, or because they don't trust Sony Michel in the short yardage situations?
B.
I mean, again, look at all the short yardage plays they ran that, you know, were not to Michel. He got a couple, but fourth and one, you throw to Hogan along the line. Third and goal at the one, you throw to Edelman in the flat. The third down, or, you know, goal line situations, the fullback gets it a couple times. So there's a lot of places where if Michel was picking up those yards in the short yardage, you just hand it off to Sony Michel and it's over. And they're going elsewhere with it. So I think that's telling.
I mean, to me, anytime they hand the ball off to James Devlin, that's an indication they have nowhere else to go.
Okay, back to your thoughts. As promised, Nick and Lowell. Hi, Nick.
Hi, I think that Lawrence guy definitely made that stop. My grandma and her cataracts definitely seen that. Thank you.
I agree. On that fourth and one, the Davis Murray run, not even close.
I can't believe that they gave that spot.
Not even close.
They were bad on the spots the whole game.
Oh, my God. Like
he was essentially behind the line of scrimmage. They got him at the line of scrimmage or a little bit behind it, and they gave him a first down?
Brutal. Just brutal. Devin in San Diego. Go ahead, Devin.
Murray, I'd like us just to have a quick moment of silence for the tight end we used to know as Gronk. Guys, when I saw him catch that third down pass, and he didn't even have the strength to try to extend for that first down, like a single tear went down my face. And then second, did Rex Burkhead get kidnapped at halftime or something? Why are we not using him in short yards?
Right, so it feels like that would have been an option there, too, in some of those plays.
I'm with Murray. I'd have gone with Burkhead there, too. I give that a try. I mean, Michel, look, I just don't think he can do it. He's just not strong enough. Not yet. So you can talk about his lower body strength all we want. And Bedard will chastise me for suggesting that his upper body strength isn't good enough yet, because apparently no college player is.
But
I'm telling you, he's not getting it now, so they got to find something else.
Something's not right there. And it's just evidenced by the fact where else they go with the ball in those situations. Again, look at all the little plays they ran down there that weren't involving Sony Michel. That would be easy pickups if you trusted your running back there. Oh, we got some calls on the Steelers here on the board. We'll go through them. 1, 2, 3. How about that? Mike in Connecticut, go.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. There was two things in that Steelers game yesterday that just makes you see how stupid Mike Tomlin is and how the culture there is. That one thing that's holding them back forever. After Antonio Brown caught that TD, they're celebrating in the end zone for like an hour, and they're trying to kick the extra point with like single digits on the play clock. I'm like, guys, there's another half. You see what happened then. And then two, when Schuster caught that third down, and he was down on the line, rolled back, was down by contact, they bring the chains out. Tomlin has all the time in the world to make this, and he throws the challenger. Like, I'm like, oh, my God. They lose that. They have that timeout gone. They lose the game. I just feel like as long as that guy and that culture is there, they are never going to accomplish anything with this talent they have.
Agreed. Jeff and Bill Rick, are your thoughts, Steelers?
Hey, guys. On Mike Tomlin, I mean, I know he's first in the division and he hasn't had a losing record yet, but he hasn't beaten the Patriots in 7 years, hasn't won a Super Bowl in a decade, the two things that, you know, he was pretty much hired to do. So if the Patriots do win in a couple weeks, You know, how realistic is it that that could be the last straw for him?
So it takes an act of God for them to fire coaches in Pittsburgh.
It really does.
Mike in the truck, go ahead, wrap it up.
Oh, I got to tell you, man, I'm glad the Patriots won, but it is just the most satisfying feeling in the world to watch those arrogant, overrated, undisciplined buttheads lose to an inferior team in their house last night. Couldn't have asked for a better cap to my Sunday.
23-7 at home against the SoCal Chargers.
The Chargers are better than the Steelers. They are. Their defense is legit.
Not in the Northeast in December, they shouldn't be.
They shouldn't be, but that shows that team has balls. It's Zoe and I are the outliers in this building. We're the only two people that actually think that team has something.
San Diego? Yeah, L.A.?
L.A., yes.
I mean, they have talent. They've always had talent.
San Diego.
Since when?
There's a little different thing going on with
do
that
the team. Whales V come into the Northeast on Sunday Night Football and beat a team like... So they do now when you're the Steelers, and you just can't get out of your own way. End zone celebrations. Boy, am I glad the Patriots... And correct me if I'm wrong. Haven't done a silly choreographed, a single one, right?
No, not that I'm aware of.
I mean, they spiked the ball.
The Vikings played like a game of pickle. Oh,
clowns. Yeah,
they did limbo last week. Oh, there's just, nothing to that extent.
The limbo I liked.
I did too.
I can't. How much time are you spending on that? How much time?
It was quick. That thing.
How much time are you spending on it as opposed to football?
Oh, you mean while they're practicing it off the field?
I'm just saying any time or energy spent on that is not spent on football, and so I've got no use for it. And you know who would agree with me? Bill. Because you haven't seen the Pages do anything like that, have you? Have I even seen a dance move from anyone?
I mean, yeah, other than Brandon dance. Cooks jumping on Gronk last year.
Who, yeah, rode him like a pony.
There's been spikes and a little bit of shimmying.
No, there's spikes. Bill allows him to spike the ball and hard if you want. You can even spike it hard. Have I even seen a shimmy?
Yeah, I think there's been a shimmy.
Show me a shimmy.
But I don't think there's been anything overly choreographed. No.
There's none of these group, you know, let's all take a picture, let's go bowling, let's play pickle, let's... go F yourself, you're playing a game.
Tell you what, I did like the limbo.
Oh, I hated it.
Who was it that they held up? Was it Thielen?
I think so, yeah.
That was awesome. They held him up like the limbo bar.
Give me a break.
Someone's going to try a high jump over him before too long.
If you're Pittsburgh, what do you do with the coaching there?
Oh, I would fire Tomlin at the
I
end
know
of the
you
year.
Would. What do you think? I know.
So no, they're going to keep him. Of course they're going to keep him. Yes, of course they're going to keep him because it's Pittsburgh. You said it right the first time. It requires a divine intervention, for crying out loud, for someone to get fired there as head coach. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to win the division. They won't fire the coach. They should, because they've had a good enough team to win the Super Bowl here for a few years now. With all the talent they have on offense, seriously, with or without Le'Veon Bell, but let's add him in because he's been there. Him, Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster. They are loaded on offense. They're loaded. They have a good offensive line. All of it. And they keep losing. They keep losing. The coach should get it there, and he won't.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts. It's a re-entry Monday. We're mostly Patriots, but we hit on the fight earlier. I have a Celtics thought for you coming up in Gordon Hayward's night on Saturday. Do a little Bruins. There's a Bruins call on my board, so I'll get to you next. I also have a giveaway, something for free. So tons of reasons for you to stick around.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Down to 41 seconds to go. Kyrie in the paint. Push pass out to Gordon Hayward. He's going to take the three. Looking for the dagger, and he drills it. Of course he does, because it's been Gordon Hayward's night. Coming off the bench tonight in Minnesota to drop 30 on the Timberwolves, and a huge road win coming Boston's way.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
All right, re-entry Monday. Here's your Celtics minute. Gordon Hayward goes for 30 in Minnesota on Saturday night. What'd you think of it, Maz?
I mean, to me, it's his best game, and not just because of the point total or the near triple-double or any of that. He looked quicker to me. He looked like he was moving better. And so there was more explosiveness to his game because the acumen is clearly there. Like, he sees open guys on the floor better than a lot of guys on that team. You know, he can start driving to the basket and kick it out to completely the opposite wing, a pass that I don't know if you'd want a lot of guys making, but he makes it, it works. So, but to me, it was the way he was moving. That was the big, I still don't think his shot's entirely right. He's getting there, but to me, it's the quickness. He looks so much quicker in that game.
Absolutely. And the two things I liked outside of the point total the most is that there was more than a few times he came down hard on that leg. And I'm watching the game with my girl, like, oh, oh my God, like, no. And it didn't affect him at all. And in fact, like, he missed an early dunk. And they kind of zoomed in on him, and his facial expression was like, enough of this crap. Because time and again, like, he had missed dunks or easy put-ins throughout the season so far, and he had just had enough on Saturday night. So I love that. And the team looked pretty pumped for him, too. Even when he hit that garbage three to make it 30 points, like, they got up. They were pumped up. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe, good sign.
Yeah, maybe they've kind of found themselves a little bit. Well, it feels like he has.
Well, he deserves credit for going to the bench and excelling in the role. He still gets tons of minutes. I mean, he got 30 minutes. So his minutes haven't really gone down, but, you know, it's an ego thing, a stature thing. I know it's important to Hayward, the way he carries himself and his branding and all that. So you're a bench player now. That's a hard pill to swallow for a guy like him, an all-star. And he did it. He accepted it with the right attitude, and now he's starting to perform. So hopefully that sets a tone.
No question. Like, I mean, to me,
that's exactly what the team needs, more guys to accept that role.
Well, to me, that was a major development, what happened over the weekend, that Hayward thing. And the other thing is I was looking, 10 free throw attempts.
Like ten for 10.
He went to the basket. Like, you know, he went to the basket. So that's a good sign, too, because they haven't been doing enough of that. Like, I sort of felt like he got over some sort of hurdle there mentally. And that, I don't know if he can give you that every night. I'm not looking for 30 every night. But in terms of the quickness and the attitude, the aggressiveness with which he played, that's a huge step. Huge.
Okay, so the Celtics minute. Get back to your phones. Here's a Bruins minute for you. I'll lead off with Mike on Cape Cod on the Bees and the Red Wings on Saturday. Go ahead, Mike. Jimmy.
Saturday night.
Yep, go ahead, Mike.
Did you get a chance to watch the Bruins on Saturday?
Nope, I did not. I'm sorry, but give me your thought.
Well, my thought was that the Red Wings come into Boston and kick the hell out of you. The whole NHL, the new NHL is brutal. I don't know what your opinion is on that.
Well, I mean, wasn't there a line brawl almost, Mike? Didn't the goalies almost go?
Yeah, well, that's what happened. Marchand kind of instigated something, but one thing I haven't seen in a long time, too, is Howard and Rask going to go at it. Yeah, and
the
referee jumped.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different league. I miss the fighting. I wish there was more of it. Felt like that thing got a little chippy. I did see the highlight of the goalies trying to get at it, and the refs wouldn't let him do it. Piss me off. Let him go. Adults. Consenting adults. Let him go. God. What are we doing here? To save the world? God, that pisses me off.
So what's this problem about the new NHL, that the goalies weren't allowed to fight?
I guess. I don't know. But either way, the issue with them is the goal scoring. They're good for 2 goals a night. And if Rask and or Halak don't stand on their head, or they're not just airtight defensively, they can't get to 3. That's a problem. You know, I don't know how much longer you can survive that. McAvoy, have you been reporting here, Murray, that McAvoy's been back at practice?
He's back at practice. It was contact practice, but Cassidy said after said practice, he really has no timetable as to when he's going to return to game action.
Okay. It's about time for Charlie McAvoy to come back. So if they can just hang on. Just hang on over this time for you get a healthy. I still say that, you know, a side benefit is guys can emerge who wouldn't ordinarily have gotten the chance, except who's doing that?
I mean, well, Donato had another goal, right?
Okay, so maybe Donato's come back from that stint at Providence and shown you a little something. I think Lauzon has shown you something. I'm okay with him. But it's not like Forrest Bach or Carlson or any of these other young guys have really seized that moment.
Is he on the Providence shuttle now back and forth? Is that
know.
What's going on? They sent him out one day and brought him back the next?
It's another guy with a very quiet game. We got Fran in the car on the heavyweight fight on Saturday night. What'd you think, Fran?
Hey, guys. Yeah, the fight was awesome. I still don't know how Fury got up in the 12th round.
Amazing.
It really was. But, I've been watching, I've been really into boxing since I've been 20, and I'm 28 now. I was just wondering, do you guys think that, like, are Fury and Wilder, the heavyweights, I know it's, like, the most important weight class for the popularity of the sport.
Yep.
Saturday night with all the theatrics and stuff. I mean, I was laughing during the ring walks for both of them. Do you think these guys have especially when Fury held up the giant rosary, I was like, I don't know what's going on out here. But do you think these guys have a real shot at making boxing become more popular?
Yes.
In the United States, anyway.
They have a chance. They have a chance. That division is creeping back. Like, it's a good division. That what was lost, well, I don't know if it was lost. If you watched it, it was actually a good boxing match. It wasn't, and again, I'm not going to tell you it was an epic or an all-timer. It wasn't the most entertaining fight I've ever seen. But it was just, it was a legit heavyweight fight with some heavy shots. I mean, by the end of it, freaking Wilder's face looked like an avocado. I mean, he got pounded. He got pounded. And Fury, when he went down in the 12th, he went down hard. And that big fella got his ass up off the canvas, showed a tremendous amount of toughness in that 12th round. So they're interesting personalities. The get-ups are something else. I mean, Wilder came in. That wasn't no S&M mask. It wasn't FM Doom, or who is he supposed to be channeling?
MF Doom.
Whoever that is. Yeah. He looked like a canary in this one. I don't even know what that was that he came in.
So a lot of people call you MF Doom.
and this Fury's got a great personality. I mean, he's got a great story. He's guy 6'9". He ballooned to almost 400 pounds. Some reported he almost went to 4. He's got a big, or had, you know, knock on wood, I don't know where he's at right now, but a big cocaine problem, I guess. Drug problem. A PED problem. Apparently got popped for steroids. Like, dude, you're 6'9", 300. You don't.
And on coke.
Oh, my God. On blow and steroids. Like, wow. But he could, and he's, you know, he didn't look exactly the part because he was a little jiggly. Little jiggly.
Boy, is he ever.
The white boy jiggles all
over
the place.
What a bad body.
But he could box. Like, he knew how to box. He made it hard on Wilder to get in there. So they're interesting personalities. They're all undefeated. They're all starting to fight each other. Like, I just think it's a worthwhile product right now. I'm so much more entertained by these guys than the middle divisions, again, who no one ever goes down and no one ever gets hurt.
I mean, Wilder even had a tough time with Luis Ortiz. Remember that fight?
He did, yes.
Ortiz is a pretty good boxer. So, look, the idea of an American chasing the heavyweight title and you get an undefeated guy across the pond who's a Brit, because Fury's undefeated too now that I think of it.
He is.
Right? Like, I told you, I want to see Wilder Joshua. That's the fight I want to see.
Wilder's my guy, but he's, I admit, I think he's a little outclassed. If Fury is not quite Anthony Joshua, then Wilder is two steps behind Joshua, because I think Fury's a better fighter than Wilder. Wilder has that wild card of that right hand, man. That, you know, he loads up and he shoots for the moon every time, and if he gets you, he gets you, and he's in good shape. Like, Wilder's in good shape, unlike Fury. But yeah, if you invest some time in it, I think it's making a little bit of a comeback. Here is Murray's update. 90 seconds, no commercials. We'll reset some Patriots thoughts here on a re-entry Monday.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.